Welcome back. Today we're doing something that separates sounds heavy in my bedroom from works in an actual DJ set. Sub-bass weight control. In drum and bass, sub-weight is a weapon, but if it's inconsistent, DJs will genuinely struggle to mix your tune, and big systems will punish you. So the goal of this lesson is simple: make your low-end hit with the same confidence every time, across the intro, the first drop, the breakdown, and the second drop. Heavy, stable, and predictable. By the end, you'll have a two-layer bass setup, a dedicated sub layer that stays clean and centered, and a mid-bass layer that can do all the fun stuff without stealing the sub's job. Then we'll build a bass bus control, including a sub-weight macro you can ride while arranging, so your tune behaves like a DJ-friendly record. Alright, open Ableton Live and let's set the session up. Set your tempo somewhere in the classic DNB range, 170 to 175 BPM. Choose a sub-friendly key if you haven't already. F, F-sharp, and G are common choices, because they sit in a range that tends to translate well on club systems. Now create three tracks. First, a MIDI instrument track called SUB. Second, another MIDI instrument track called Bass MID. Third, group them and name that group Bass Bus. And I strongly recommend you add a simple kick and snare loop while you work. You don't need a full drum mix right now, but you do need the kick present so you can hear the kick versus sub relationship. Low-end decisions without a kick are basically imaginary. Step 1. Build a stable, click-free sub instrument. Go to your SUB track and drop an operator. Keep it boring on purpose. Set oscillator A to a sine wave. Turn off oscillators B, C, and D. We want one clean foundation. Set voices to 1 so it behaves as a true mono sub. Keep glide off, or extremely subtle. In DNB, unless you're doing something stylistic, the sub usually wants to be tight and disciplined. Now go to operator's amp envelope. Set attack around 0 to 5 milliseconds. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. That release is one of those tiny details that saves you from clicks when notes end or change. If your hearing ticks later, you'll come back here and nudge release up a bit. Here's a big teacher note. Sub consistency is not just about level. It's also about note range and note length. For note range, keep most of your sub between G0 and G1. Roughly 49 to 98 HC fundamentals. You can go lower, but know what you're doing. If you live down around 35 to 45 HC fundamentals, lots of systems won't reproduce it properly, and you'll end up turning the sub up, thinking it's weak, when really it's just too low to translate. Now note length. Open the piano roll and make your sub note lengths intentional. If some notes are short with gaps and others are long and legato, you'll get random weight differences, even when the mixer settings are identical. DJs feel that as inconsistency in the blend, so normalize your note lengths as a starting point, then add gaps only when you mean it rhythmically. Cool, that's the sub instrument. Now we build the golden rule, separate sub and mid properly. Go to the bass MID track, make whatever you want here, reese, growl, wobble, foghorn Y stuff, neuro movement, whatever, wave eatable, operator, analog, totally your choice, but the rule is, the mid layer does not get to carry the fundamental low end. The sub layer roams the true low frequencies. Period. So on the bass MID track, at EQ 8, turn on a high pass filter around 90 to 120 HC. Use a steep slope, 24 or even 48 dB per octave. The reason we go steep is because a little bit of 70 to 100 HC leaking from a modulating reese is exactly what creates that annoying sensation where the sub weight shifts every time the mid-bass moves. Now on the SUB track, at EQ 8 as well, put a low pass around 120 to 180 HC. Gentle slope is fine, like 12 to 24 dB per octave. This keeps the sub lane clean and stops the sub layer from smearing into the low mids. And this is the mindset. We're not trying to make each layer sound amazing solo. We're building lanes. SUB lane is stable. MID lane is character. When you combine them, it feels huge, but it's still mixable. Next step, mono and phase stability. On the SUB track, add utility. Set width to 0%. Yes, hard mono. Then turn on bass mono if you want extra safety, and set the bass mono frequency around 120 Hz as a starting point. On bass mid, you can go wider if you want, but keep it above the crossover. If you add utility here and set width to 120 or 160%, fine, just remember, because you high-passed it, it won't mess with your sub lane. Now do a quick reality check. Put spectrum on the bass bus. Then, temporarily, put a utility on your master and set width to 0% so you're listening in mono. When you switch to mono, Your sub should barely change in perceived level. If it suddenly gets louder, thinner, or weirdly different, that's a sign something low is still stereo or facey. Fix that now, because clubs are basically mono down there. All right, now we control peaks without killing weight. This is where a lot of people mess up. They think sub weight is a EQ problem, but a huge amount of the time, it's a dynamics problem. A sub that randomly blooms on certain notes will feel inconsistent in a DJ blend, even if the average level is the same. On the sub track, add glue compressor. Set ratio to 2:1. Attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto, or set it around 0.2 to 0.4 seconds. Now lower the threshold until you're getting about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the loudest notes. Turn on soft clip for a subtle safety net. We're not smashing it. We're leveling it. Then add saturator after the glue. Choose soft sine or analog clip. Drive somewhere around 1 to 4 dB. And crucial, pull the output down so the level matches when you bypass it. Don't win by making it louder. You're listening for the sub to feel more solid and readable, not just bigger because it's louder. If you want extra translation without dirtying the sub, try using the dry slash wet on saturator around 10 to 25% with low drive. That creates a small harmonic scaffold, which helps the bass read on smaller speakers while the true sub stays controlled. If the sub starts sounding papery or boxy after harmonics, add an EQ8 and do a tiny dip around 200 to 400 Hz. Small moves, 1 or 2 dB, not a surgery. Next step, sidechain the sub so the kick has a clean pocket. On the sub track, after saturation, add a compressor or another glue. Turn on sidechain. Set the input to your kick track. Set attack fast, around 0 to 3 milliseconds. Set release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. You'll adjust this by groove. Faster release is tighter, slower release is more woomph. Set ratio somewhere between 3:1 and 6:1. Now bring the threshold down until the kick is clear, but the sub still feels continuous. A common range is 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. Here's the DJ-friendly part. Keep the sidechain behavior consistent between drops. If your first drop pumps one way and your second drop pumps differently, DJs feel like the tune's low end is changing loudness. Predictable pumping equals mixable. Now let's set up a sub weight macro so you can control low end feel without destroying your mix. Go to the bass bus group. Add an EQ8 for gentle shaping. If it's boxy, do a tiny cut around 200 to 300 Hz, like 1 to 2 dB. If you need a touch more chest, do a tiny shelf lift around 60 to 90 Hz, half a dB to maybe 1.5 dB, and only if it stays clean. Add glue compressor on the bus if you want, but keep it extremely gentle. This is not where you flatten the bass. And add a limiter only as safety, not for loudness wars. If you're relying on the limiter to control your bass weight, you're solving the wrong problem. Now put a utility at the end of the bass bus. Map its gain to a macro and call it sub weight. Set the macro range to something safe, like minus 2 dB to plus 2 dB. This is a big coaching concept. Pick a house sub level and commit early. Loop an 8-bar drop. Set your sub track fader so it feels right without leaning on the master limiter. That's your baseline. Then lock it in mentally. From now on, that macro is for controlled offsets and arrangement, like pulling the intro back a bit, not for constantly fixing a broken bass sound. Also, do a lot of low-end decisions at low playback volume, like conversation level. If the sub still feels present quietly, you're usually in a safer zone. Loud monitoring can trick you into chasing ghosts. Now arrangement strategy, making it DJ-friendly. A super common, mixable blueprint goes like this. In the intro, 16 to 32 bars, keep drums and tops moving. Let the mid-bass hint at the vibe, but keep the sub filtered or lower in level. Think tease, not full payload. In the last couple of bars before the drop, you can tease the sub briefly or automate the filter opening. On the drop, give full sub weight. In breakdowns, either remove the sub or keep a very quiet ghost sub, but avoid random spikes where the low end suddenly jumps forward. On the second drop, match the first drop's weight, or slightly exceed it, but do it intentionally. In Ableton, your safest automations are: automate the sub weight macro, automate the low pass on the sub so the intro is tighter and the drop opens slightly. Be cautious automating sidechain amount. That's an advanced move because it changes groove and perceived loudness. DJs hate surprises. If you want pre-drop tension without destabilizing weight, try this: keep the sub quietly present and pull down mid-bass brightness for 2 bars with a filter or less distortion, then open it on the drop. The drop feels bigger, but the low end doesn't teleport. Now do the DJ translation tests inside Ableton. These are quick and they're real. Test 1. Mono compatibility. On the master, put a utility and toggle width between 100 and 0. Better yet, map that to a macro called LOWEND audit so it's a one knob check. Flip it while the drop plays. The kick and sub relationship should stay stable, not suddenly change balance. Test 2. Club filter simulation. Put auto filter on the master temporarily. High pass around 30 to 35 Hz with gentle resonance. Listen. Does the bass still feel strong? If it collapses, you're probably relying on ultra-low fundamentals that won't translate. Often the fix is not turn it up, it's choosing a slightly higher note or adding a touch of harmonics so the bass reads. Test 3. Reference swap. Drag in a reference DNB track at the same BPM. Turn it down so you're not comparing to mastered loudness. Now compare intro to drop sub behavior, kick versus sub balance, and the general amount of 50 to 80 Hz presence. Use spectrum on the bass bus and master as a guide, but don't mix purely with your eyes. Use it to catch obvious problems like way too much energy below 40 or a mid layer leaking into the sub zone. Before we wrap, let's cover the classic mistakes to avoid, because these are the traps. Stereo sub is number 1. Even a tiny widen below about 120 Hz can cause mono sum issues in clubs. Number 2 is mid layer leaking into the sub range, especially if the mid bass has filter modulation. That makes weight shift constantly. Number 3 is overcompressing the sub until it's just a flat tone. You lose punch and you lose groove. Number 4 is too much sub automation. It might feel cinematic in headphones, but it's not DJ friendly. And number 5 is rating sub notes too low, then compensating with level, which just creates mud and still doesn't translate. Now a quick practice exercise to lock this in. Make a 32-bar loop. Program a rolling DNB drum loop with a basic kick and snare. Write a simple 2-bar sub pattern, 1 to 3 notes, with space. Create a Reese mid layer that modulates like an LFO on a filter. Apply the split. Sub low pass around 150 Hz, mid high pass around 100 Hz, sub in mono. Sidechain sub from kick for about 3 to 5 dB of gain reduction. This audio version is shortened for playback.